We're going to music thing this morning, so I can get my voice back and actually start talking a long time about something. But this is something I came on last night that I might do this for the rest of my life. I mean, this is pretty exciting. I typed in a question mark in my Bible, concordance on the computer. I was curious if it would just bring up the sentences and end it with a question mark. And it did. So we're looking at this morning, maybe tonight as well, questions that Paul asks, and the answers are right there. And when you start looking at some of these questions, you'll hear the same thing that people ask today, or they complain about, or they say. And that's interesting to me that, you know, when you hear a sermon, you hear somebody take God's words, and somehow we think we have to rewrite them or restate it or say it differently to answer the question, because people can't understand what God is, how God answers the question. So we make an hour sermon out of something that could be answered very quickly. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. So this morning we're going to look at the questions, and we're going to look at the answer right after those questions. I have really nothing to say other than just reading the scriptures out loud. And doesn't it make sense? I mean, why do we have to restate something in shorter words, make a longer sermon? Because God, people can't understand how God said it. So who do we think we are that we can make something more easy to understand? We really lift ourselves up quite highly that we can say things better than the Bible can. Another thing that people don't, these questions are only answerable in the King James Bible. The other problem is the answers that people are going to hear with these questions this morning, they're not going to be the answers they want to hear. They've been religionicated, as Mark or Sam goes. They're edumacated, religionicated, and if the answer isn't what they've been taught, then they won't believe it, even though it's from a single Bible, et cetera, et cetera. So it's obvious that the Bible is not the final answer anymore for anybody. And it was that, it's been that way for a long time. Giff was always talking about that. The final authority is your Bible. Well, it's not even their final authority anymore, because they don't want to divide the thing that they do. The final authority is the college they went to. The final authority is Dr. Ruckman. The final authority is Sam Giff, how he writes it. No, really, the final authority is the King James Bible. You don't need anybody to answer that thing for you. You can read it yourself. So let's jump into these things this morning, and we'll see what we come up with. I started off with just one question and one answer. And I'll save it for the end here if I can maintain this thing without getting into my cough going here. You can turn up your speakers as best as you can, White Cotton, because I can barely talk. So put tape on the kids' mouths, turn off the music, quit doing dishes. What else could be noisy out there in our listening audience here? Tell the neighbors to quit mowing the lawn. You know, kids quit playing in the swimming pool. Got a sermon going on, but you're going to barely hear it if you can really crank up your speakers or something. So let's go. We're just going to stick to the book of Romans this morning. And you know, you can do this yourself. Just type in a question mark in your Bible concordance to see if it's one that can handle that sort of a thing. And go one book at a time, and you read all the questions that Paul asks. And they're answerable right there. And you don't need to make an hour sermon out of one of these things. You can make an hour sermon out of about 20 of these things. So here we go. Let's look at Romans. We'll just pick some of these out of here this morning and end up with my big one at the end here. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. Romans chapter 2. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. And he's talking to lost people here. If we get from chapter 1 there about those lost people who are wicked people. They're doing some really horrible things. And I got everything going. I got the audio going. I got the speaker. I got the video going. I got that thing going. Okay. We might make this thing work this morning. Okay, so then he says in verse 1, he's knocking these people because they judge everybody else for doing what they're doing. Yeah, but your recording has come with a skip. Anyway. So then he asks this question. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things? So the world, if anybody judges out there, I'm sorry, I got a yak in me too. Anybody judges out there is the world. You know what? All these people out there that are filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, all the stuff that Paul talks about in chapter 1 up there, they judge us like without breathing, they judge us for stuff. I think we're judging them. You know? So this is directed to them. And he says, "Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same?" Oh, here we go. "That thou shalt escape the judgment of God." Here's a question for you. You people that are living out there doing some terrible things, you think you're going to skip the judgment of God? And they laugh about it. They have a great time and they laugh about that stuff. So they say, you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? And the reason they think that is because they're not seeing God's judgment. They're getting away with murder. They're getting away with perversions. They're getting away with tons of stuff. And so they think that God's not real. And they're getting away with it. Then we see in verse 4, "O despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." So there's that crowd that thinks that they're going to reject his goodness. Well, the problem here is nobody sees either one. The lost people say they don't see God's judgment. And you got these Christian people, so-called Christian people, going around yakking about God's judgment, and they haven't seen God's judgment. It's not God's judgment. That's reaping what we sow. That's changing of weather stuff. And the people that say they're Christians, they're not being taught what God's goodness is. They're being taught the chastisement stuff and the "I'll get you if you don't do it right." So they're not even being taught God's goodness. And he says up there in verse 5, "But after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgments of God." So they're not going to see that kind of stuff. Nobody's going to see anything. We're not even going to see it. We understand the goodness of God because of the Bible. But the goodness of God to them is a new house without having to pay, you know, like Obama got elected because he told people they weren't going to pay for their mortgages and all that stuff. And people believe that kind of junk. So they think the goodness of God is physically blessed. Well, they don't see the goodness of God today, so they don't believe that either. But if they were to get into the King James Bible, they would learn all about the goodness of God. And it will lead them to repentance. So there's your first set of questions right there that are answered in that Bible. And these are common questions today. You hear that all the time. "I'm getting away with murder. Where's God at?" Jumping up and down, making idiots of himself. I've seen that happen so many times. Then you got the Christians. They're not seeing God's goodness, and they don't think any of it exists anymore, so they quit. I know too many people that are used to be close friends or family that have quit because they didn't see either one of those things. But the answer is in verse 5. It's coming. Our shows up at the judgment seat of Christ. There's a show that's a light known judgment of God. So that's what that works out. Let's jump down here to go to Romans chapter 3. And let's do another one here. Romans chapter 3, let's look at 5. And the question is in the second half of the verse I want to talk about here. I guess we can read the whole verse. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. So here's a question people ask. What kind of God is going to punish people? What kind of God would make a hell? What kind of a God would take vengeance? I've heard that many times. I know somebody real close to you says that all the time. Well, the answer is in verse 6. "God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world?" He has to judge the world. Now, that is explained all the way down the rest of that chapter. So not only is the answer here, but the explanation is there for them. Now, do they want to hear that explanation? No. Do they want to hear the answer? No. But the question is there, and the answer is there. If God didn't kick in his judgment, as we would say, I guess, how's he going to judge the world? goes all the way through that stuff. This is the great stuff we all had to learn as Baptists, you know. Every better than they know, we're not. In verse 9 and 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. All that stuff is there. Down to verse 19, the law is there that every mouth may be stopped if the world becomes guilty before God. So by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Then you get to verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And that's where Paul comes in. The risen Savior comes in. But they don't want to hear that. First question, they think they're getting away with perversions. And the Christians think they're getting away with stuff because they don't see any responses. Second question here is, they think that God is unrighteous because he's having vengeance. No, that's how he judges the world. And we don't have to worry about that in verse 21 because now we have the righteousness of God without the laws manifested. And we've received that righteousness. We are made his righteousness. So there's that one. Here's another one this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Okay, all the stuff that people have heard about Paul, what's one of the first things they ask you? So can I kill somebody? I can just go do what I want. Well, we know that the Bible does say all things are lawful. But we also know that all things are not expedient. All things don't edify. All, you know, can't cause somebody to stumble. They can't have a power over you. That kind of thing. But one of the first questions people always ask me, so can we just continue with sin? Well, we have to look at chapter 6 here. And it's actually, if you remember, those who listened before, those are two questions that come out of that. First question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the second part of that question is verse 15, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? And that's two separate questions with two separate meanings to it. You get done reading chapter 6, 1 through 14, you find out that we are not ever going to continue in sin anymore. What about the sin that we follow that's in our body? Yeah, we're separated from it. We're not in sin anymore. We're not continuing sin. If we do something we shouldn't have done, it'll come up at the judgment seat. Well, it'll come up anyway. And if it's something we shouldn't have done, it'll burn. So we're no longer in sin. Period. So, read that set of verses and keep that in mind. We're not in sin anymore. We can't continue in sin. We cannot continue in sin. Okay. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? We're dead to it. I mean, we're dead to it. People just can't get that. And the second question there is in verse 15, what then shall we sin? This one go along as effects of doing the things. Should we do those things that we should be doing because we're not under the law? Same answer, God forbid. But then he goes on and explains to them that it's still not imputed to us. It's still not something to be listened to. It's the judgment seat of Christ will take care of that thing. Verse 22, being made free from sin. So, you know, we yield to the right stuff. But if we yield to the sin that's in us, we're doing something wrong, but it's still not going to be accountable. It's not going to be, imputed. Imputed, there we go. Now we have choices to make. Yeah, we shouldn't. But we do make choices to make. But we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be making those kind of choices. Wrong choices. So Romans chapter 6 is a very interesting chapter. The two questions about sin continuing in have whole two different contexts to it. Well, let's go on here down to Romans chapter 8. Here's another one. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, so we know that. But hope that is seen is not hope. And what makes us all so frustrated, listen to me, what makes us all so frustrated these days is we're not seeing what we'd like to see. We'd like to see Paul's teachings be accepted by people. We'd like to see more people get involved in church. We'd like to see this country straighten itself out. We'd like to see, but you know, we're not going to see it. We want to see that what we've been taught about Paul is correct. We believe it because it's the King James Bible, all that. But you know what? It really is Paulson that introduced us to this back in Tushy or here on the internet. And you know, he's got no credentials behind him at all. Can't even talk anymore. Old geezer. And who's he anyway? Well, no. Look at your Bible. And does it make sense to you? Does it fit? I mean, there it is. But we want to see the truth of Paul come true so we know it right. You know, because that's why we lose faith. And God isn't going to spank us for going to the beach in a bikini. God isn't going to spank us for the stuff that we do or wear or see or wear modestly or whatever. It's not going to happen. So we don't see anything taking place. So he says again, verse 24, 8:24, we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For here's your question. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? What's there to hope for if we already see it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? So, let's have hope. Let's still keep that hope. And that hope, it means we're not going to see the stuff that's going to help us maintain that hope. And I said this a week or two ago. See if I can do it right here. As things get worse and worse, our faith should get stronger and stronger, not weaker and weaker. People shouldn't be giving up as things get tougher. We're supposed to be getting stronger. Why? Because we're not going to see anything that's going to be pleasing to God, according to Paul. So that should strengthen our faith, but people quit. People end up quitting. Going backwards. Okay. So that question is answered. Asked and answered. Let's go down here to Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Another one. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Okay, that's a good question. How are they going to know that? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? Then we got the comment about the beautiful feet of the preachers. Okay, so you got somebody you care about. And you want them to hear about Paul's teachings of the risen Savior. How are they going to hear about it? Got to find him a preacher? Got to find a pastor for him? Well, if there's no pastor or preacher someplace for them, they're not going to get it otherwise, except for you. They're not going to get it any other way. They're not going to hear about it any other way, except through you. So, did that little series. Well, I'm maintaining the cough so far, so good here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 18. There's not a couple more verses there. But I say, have they not heard? So, when people complain, you know, when we say what we say about the Great Commission, they were to go to all the world and tell them about Jesus Christ and his teachings and Mark and 16 and all that stuff. They're going to be followed with signs and all that stuff. Well, did it take place? Yeah, it took place. So why do we think we have to teach it today? It's again one of those things that took place in history. But I say, have they not heard? Here's the answer. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. So the Great Commission job was done. It was done. So we're no longer in the Great Commission today. We're in Paul's Commission, which I call the Greater Commission. I haven't called that thing for a long time, have I? So we're not still in the Great Commission. That's already been done with. And what did they go in there? They went in there with Peter's message. With Peter's teachings to the Jews. And they're supposed to go out to all the world. It's been done. They've heard. Look at verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. Now who's no people? The Gentiles are the no people. You know who we were? We were the no people. We're the heathen. Which reminds me to say it again, and to mention this to some one of your Christian, modern Christian friends, is the fact that did you know that the Ten Commandments were not given to us as Gentiles, they're just given to the Jews? Let them stammer on that thing for a couple minutes. It was all to the Jews. We never had the law. Romans chapter 2 says that the heathen back in those days were given a conscience. They were judged by their conscience. But they probably had a pretty crummy conscience from what I read, but they were still given one. Doesn't it say in Romans chapter 1 that they were sorry. It says there in Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's called a conscience. So, you know, we as heathen, we as Gentiles, have never been told to follow the Levitical law or the Ten Commandments. Now, that'll knock people out of their pews in their churches today. We've never been told to follow those. Well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in the Bible to the Jews. Read the whole thing. It's all written to the Jews. So Paul comes along, he tells us the Ten Commandments, and he tells us 9 of them. Plus a bunch of others that we shouldn't be doing. He leaves out the seventh day, you know. Or the whole the Sabbath day, leaves that out. So, isn't that amazing? I can't get over that thought. A couple of weeks ago, I just hit my little noodle. We've never been told to follow those things. Except now through Paul. The law was there for the Jew. Okay, anyway. So, by jealousy, by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, I will anger you. That's the Gentiles. These are questions, and I got a whole string of them in the book of Romans. These are questions that Paul asked, and the answers are in the Bible. And these are questions that people ask today, but they don't want to get the answer, which is in the rest of the Bible verse. Let's look at Romans 14. Now, there's 3 questions we could ask out of. There's more than 3. There's 3 questions in chapter 14. But let's remember, this chapter 14 is dealing with who? Look at verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith. Who are we to judge somebody who's weak in the faith? They don't know any different. But who are we to judge a Christian that's doing something outwardly wrong, da-da-da-da, and you don't want to be around that? They get mad at you for judging somebody. Oh, I'm sorry, you've been saved for 10 years. Your music ought to change by now. So yeah, I judge you for that. I judge the music. I don't want to be around that. I don't want my kids to come over to your house and listen to that kind of music. You should know better by now. Brand new Christian? You don't know any different. Weak in the faith. Eating, with the illustration they use here. Anything that they do. Paul tells us in Thessalonians that if the brethren aren't walking Paul's doctrine, you're to avoid them. Have no company with them. Withdraw. You know what that is? That's a judgment. But if he's weak in the faith and doesn't know that, no, you don't do that to him because they'll probably kill him anyway. So the 3 questions in Romans 14, keep in mind who these are towards. Who art thou, in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. So I look at this, and I'm looking, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Again, we're talking to weak in the faith. And ladies aren't going to like this because I don't want you to think that this servant stuff is a title to you as such as a servant to your husband. Although, you know, this created first, etc., etc. So who are we to be judging these women out there that are dressing like they're dressing and talking like they're talking and screaming and laughing like they're acting like just total morons in the stores and the restaurants? Who are we to judge those? You know what? That lady belongs to a man somewhere. She's his problem. So if they're weak in the faith because they know any different, somebody recently saved, or these modern Christians, they don't know any different. Their Bibles don't even tell them to quiet down. But if it's somebody who's been in your church for a couple of years or been preached at over this kind of stuff, and they should know better by now, because the scriptures have been put to them, and they're still loud, and they're still radical, and they're still wild, and they're still immodest, if not worse nowadays, and the whole thing, you can hammer them with judgment. It's wrong. You're supposed to stay away from them. That's your judgment. You're supposed to stay away from them. Do we hear that? Do I need to show that 1 Thessalonians, the brethren? We're supposed to stay away from these people. We don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because we're being hammered for the fact that we're judging people. And where do they have to take us to? Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 is about somebody weak in the faith. If you've got somebody that just got into the Paul stuff, they're not going to get those jeans off and put on a dress, a modest dress right away. They're not going to change the music right away. They're not going to start wearing the tops to actually cover them up. They're not going to... You know, I've heard the excuses, it's expensive. I've heard the excuses, you can't find anything anymore today. And that's probably true. But if it's really a modest issue, you don't go out silent, you can be covered up. Okay, go get yourself a blanket and make yourself something. But for those ladies that should know better and dress immodestly, stay away from them. That's how you judge them. That's how Paul teaches this stuff. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Does that make sense? That's exact. So if we're going to be Paul, if we're going to be Paul following people, we better stick with what Paul teaches. We better understand what this judgment thing is all about. Don't judge the weak one, but the one that's been there should know better. You judge him and you stay away from him. So there's another question people talk about all the time. See, who are you to judge? You get. Let me show you something for 5 minutes. I'll show you what I'm talking about here. Kind of a deal. Oh well. I remember back in we got a line here. Back in Tushy. Yeah, Sam was there. Bob was there, I mean, for Touche and patience. I remember one time I got in the sermon, I said, you know what? I'm tired of preaching you women all the time. About, I told him one time, you know, if you shut the door and you stand outside the door, all you hear are the ladies just yakking away. The laughters, the belly laughs, just like such lousy examples you ladies are for your children. Or the way they were talking and what they were gossiping about and the way they were running the ship and all this kind of junk. I remember saying, you know what? I'm done with this stuff. You ladies belong to your men. Men, they're your problem, not mine. I remember that. I wonder what they thought when I said it. I never heard anything about that that I can remember. Uh-oh, I just realized that my sound is not turned on for the video. That's brilliant. So I guess there won't be a video for this thing online. Just noticed that my sound meter wasn't turned on. Brilliant. There's always something, you know. So, I hope you're getting a good mark. We'll get the skip one again. Skip version on there again. Sorry, folks. And then, let's do one more here. Oh, verse 4. Look at chapter 14, verse 10. Got a couple more yet to do here. We're doing all right time-wise. I got one big one at the end that I think is a really exciting question to see answered. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. There's a question. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, sure we will. But again, this is talking about the weak in faith. And Paul talks in Thessalonians about the one that should be walking in the doctrine of Paul by now. We're still supposed to judge. It's just who we judge and who we're not supposed to judge is the issue here. And then 14:22. Have you got faith? Hast thou faith, it says? Hast thou faith? Good question. Do you got faith? Sure I do. Have it to thyself before God. This whole thing is between you and God. If you don't want to dress modestly, if you can't in a situation, or if you can't do this, you can't go there, you don't want to do this, you want to go down to the beach, or if you want to listen to crummy music, if you want to tell your husband off and run a ship and destroy the family and all this kind of junk that's going on at homes, hey, if you got the faith and if you're saved, it's between you and God. If you want to do it in God's face, then hey, go right ahead. Just don't forget that God gave us a written Bible, so you'll have no excuse. You'll know that you shouldn't have been doing that. And some of you still have a preacher. Or maybe some of you even have a husband that actually knows enough about his Bible to say, you know what, honey? We shouldn't be doing this. For honey, I'm sorry, but I don't want you to go out in the public wearing that dress anymore. So as he ducks and the rolling pin comes flying by him, he's able to explain, well, it's not just because I don't like it, it's because it's a scripture thing, and I don't want that testimony to be out there with our kids, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, this whole thing is between us and God. We always wonder what somebody else is going to think. I can't think of any more lonely time. I'm not big, I don't like loneliness. My worst enemy, I don't like them, I would not like to see them lonely. Lonely is just a hard time. It's just a hard thing. Scary for some of us. But I can't think of a more lonely time is at our judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to be able to say anybody's name. We're not going to be able to blame on anybody else. It's going to be you and him. Well, why did you dress that way? Just that day. Well, I had to do something. Well, why? But we're going to try to justify everything to him. You know, we're not going to get anywhere. Because the scriptures still say what they say. So, our faith is between us and God. And he gave us the Bible to verify it. And some people are fortunate enough to have a preacher that will tell them the truth, but most people have a preacher that will lie to them. Read your Bible. You got a husband that's a dweeb? You got a Bible. You got a wife that's just she's left over from the Wizard of Oz. She escaped when the house crashed down, you know. Then Paul gives an answer how to deal with that. 1 Corinthians 7. But it's between you and God. Okay. Let's do one more. And let's go to Galatians. One more question. Let's have this asked today by so many people. And the answer is in the Bible. I don't need to talk about it. We just read the scriptures, and there's your answer. Now the question here, let's read Galatians chapter 1. And this question is asked us by the Christians all the time. Here we go. You see in Galatians chapter 1, the general introduction. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he grammatically adds more to this thing, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, good introduction. Here's what happens here. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. He's shocked that somebody would turn away from what they were given. The question here is in verse 10. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So are you doing your Christianity to please God or to please man? And if you're there to please men, then you will go back to the gospel in the gospels. You go back to the law, the Jewish law, the teachings to the Jews. Great commission. You'll go back to that if you go back to anything at all. So what do we say to somebody who says, why do you go on to Paul? What's wrong with staying with the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What's wrong with staying with that? Let's just live our life based on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was Jesus. He was a good teacher. And we'll just do the best we can. Well, the answer to that question is Galatians, the book of Galatians. He writes this book of Galatians to tell people that are still trying to stick with the law. And, you know, Christians say, Baptists, the whole crowd, they will say that they're no longer sticking to the law. Are you kidding me? You believe that if you don't do something exactly right according to Jesus' teachings, you better either confess it or God's going to hammer you. That's the law. You're still following the law. Well, we're just following the New Testament law. No, you're not. There's no such thing. You're following the Old Testament law. The Gospels are still Old Testament until the death of the testator. Christ had to fulfill the law. So if you had to follow, wanted to follow Christ or Jesus in the gospel days, you had to follow the law. That's just the way it was. And I don't get why people don't see that anymore. I thought, you'll think it'd be easier. I didn't get it for a while, but why go back and try to live the Old Testament law? Well, the answer is Galatians. So now, just for a couple of minutes, let's just read the answer. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. In other words, it really isn't another gospel. You call it one, but it really isn't a gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. See, that's not the gospel of Jesus, it's the gospel of Christ. So yeah, you're perverting it. But though we're an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that from which we have preached, you should be accursed. And he goes on. And look at verse 16. To reveal his son in me. We learn about Jesus, the heathen learn about Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, through Paul. Not through Peter. Verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. So Paul didn't even go talk to the 12 apostles. And if I remember correctly, I think this is one of the criticisms people have of Paul, is because he went to Arabia here when he should have gone up to Jerusalem. And it just clicked on me last night. No, he didn't need to go back to Jerusalem. He didn't need to go to those apostles. If he'd have gone back to Jerusalem, he'd have been given the old message. So he stayed away from them. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And then when he'd only seen James, anybody else there. So you see what I'm saying? We go through chat, and I'm going to have you read it yourself, because I was going to read it, but I just can't do it. You read through the book of Galatians. Just read it through. Remember the question that was stated. Are you seeking to please men or God? Do you want to go back to the Gospels, the law of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or do you want to go to the law of Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, same thing? Or do you want to go on with Paul? And the answer and explanation of why you better stick with Paul is the book of Galatians. If you've got somebody out there that wants to stick with the Gospels, the religious, conservative gospel message of Jesus and the Bible, any Bible version, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, here's why we don't want to. Here's what we get by looking to Paul. So, I can just tell my throat won't handle reading the answer. So I hope that you sit down and you read that thing, and you'll see what it is you have to tell somebody someday. Here's why we're sticking with Paul, and we don't want to go back. Nothing to marvel at. It's just that's the way it is. I've got so many people I know that have gone back, and I marvel. Why is it more important to be able to go to a beach and take your clothes off than just to stick with Paul? Why is it more important to be able to go off to some college somewhere and act like an idiot, become popular, and drink and the whole spiel, make more friends? Why do you do that? I marvel that you go, I marvel at that. Why do people do that? Why do people go back to the old music after a while? Why do they give up and start wearing some of the crummy clothes? I thought they were modest. Oh, I'm sorry, they were fat in those days, but now that they've lost their weight, they want to be able to be sexy and show it off. They like that figure they had. The only figure they had at one time was the figure of the Liberty Bell. But once they got rid of the Liberty Bell shape, they were ready to go back. Why is that? Stick with Paul, stick with Galatians. The answer is in the book of Galatians. Read the book to yourself, between you and God, and find out why we stick with Paul and don't want to go back. So I better quit while I'm ahead, although I didn't get the sound on the video thing, so no, that isn't going to sound any good for tonight or for later, but anyway, there you go. And I hope you could hear all that, and I'll be there tonight.